listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca.
Peak amount of consecutive hours worked for you.
I'm good. I hope I'm going to bring you. I've got 20 minutes of quality, Greg, so we better jam this in there.
Yeah. hey, Strati, are you a big baseball guy? Like, have you been following the Jays, the first place Toronto Blue Jays? Are they getting you invested in them?
You know, I have, and Greg's, yeah, it's obviously that they're in first place. He gets, you know, gets more eyes on him, but it's the way they're doing it. You know, when the last time they had that run with guys like Josh Donaldson and Bautista, I think you guys remember how I felt. I didn't really like that team. I didn't like the players as much. They're a little bit older, maybe, you know, to me, a little over arrogant, overconfident. This group is the opposite. To me, they look like they're playing for each other. They're having fun. Guys are all over the lineup. We have guys that are hitting first, then they're hitting seventh, then they're hitting sixth, and they're out of the lineup because someone else is coming in. Like, they're really fun to watch, and they're playing for each other. So I'm enjoying this camaraderie, plus that they're winning. And it's everyone. Everyone contributing, even George Springer, who had been written off. So I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving the way that they're playing.
Yeah. No, you are bang on about, you know, different guy almost every night and in a different position in the lineup. And everybody's buying into it. And the old adage, there's no I in team, is definitely working for the Jays. It helps that now they're in the stretch taking on the worst team in baseball in the Rockies. And so should be able to find a way to get at least a few wins in the next few nights, you would hope anyway. Meanwhile, you know, you talk about just kind of how they're doing it well, and then you look at the Elks and that game, man. Like, guys, there's lots of things to like about the game, but at the end of the day, they lose again on a self-destruction drop.
Well, you know what, Greg's, it's interesting. I for sure, like, that drop is going to haunt Grant, you know, because everyone's looking at you, right? It's like the goalie doesn't make the save in the last minute of the game, or, you know, you have a break when you don't score. This was in your hands, and it was a very, very catchable ball. And you feel sick. You feel like you let down the team. But if you remember, you go back, I believe it was the end of the second quarter, they had three cracks to get in the end zone. They couldn't get in there either, right? So there's two opportunities. So we're putting a lot of pressure on Grant, and that's fair. I think that's the ball he should have caught. But I'm actually taking this position if I'm a player in that dressing room. Guys, we took a really good team with a really good quarterback, you know, as far as we could. We probably should have won the game. We didn't. So now is not the time to get down. Let's double down. It feels like we kind of know who our quarterback is now. It's, you know, it's not going to be Trey Ford. We're going for Jardo, and I think that they should be like, hey, we should be feeling confident, up, frustrated, or more mad that we didn't lose rather than sad that we lost.
Okay. I do want to ask you this as a guy who's coached a lot. We had Kevin Woodley on, and we were talking about, you know, goaltending development and everything like that, and he talked, he had a very unique point of view, Strutty, on for young guys, because I know you coach U9, U11, U13, everything, and he talked about, especially at the younger age, he goes, you send a kid, you got a split team of hockey, and he drives all the way to the team knowing he's never going to even touch the ice. And did you always switch your goalies halfway through the game? What was your philosophy on it?
Yeah, no, so I let them play full games. And I know it is, I mean, well, first off, they picked a position, right? They chose to be the goalie. You know, you never force anyone to play in that unless they're really young and half ice. But I let them play full games so they could get the feeling of knowing they're going to be in there no matter where they play well or play bad. They're going to play the whole game. Then they play the other one. Now, if I had three games in a weekend, yeah, I might split the third game. So they both get equal amounts of games over that time. But, you know, just talking to different the parents or talking to the goalie coaches, they'd say, let them play the full game so they know this is their game to win and or lose.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because Woodley talked about how lots of the guys he's talked about how is that it's actually not great for the development. Like, he even went as in some teams. Now, this was what I found unique, Strati, to keep players in the game. Because think about it as a coach, right? Your goalie's in the game. When do you talk to him? For 2 minutes and sometimes you're trying to address your team. No one really ever gets a lot of in-game coaching at all to the goalie. And so Woodley said there's some teams where they coach that every few shifts they're switching their goalies. Right? And I'm kind of, and some people are like, well, why? But he's like, it keeps him in the game. Then you can talk to him. Because you go to play soccer, you're doing substitutions all the time. No one thinks it's a big deal. Right? Like, it is totally different than even just splitting the games. But I found, like, that's something there. I'd be like, God, I'd kind of be interested to try it just to see how the players would react to it. And does it keep them actually in the game more? Because now they're on the bench knowing, hey, I'm going to get back in there right away. I better stay in the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the challenge is that I'd say 99% of coaches out there, hockey coaches, don't know anything about coaching goalie.
Fair point.
And I'd include myself in that.
Fair point.
And I, you know, can I do a couple drills to help them or a couple skating drills? Yeah. And I probably, because I'm on the ice so much with different academies, I probably know more than most, but I'm not even close to a goalie coach. So I think, you know, if you have, you know, Jimmy the accountant talking to the goalie in the corner, what's he telling him every, you know, let's call it 10 minutes if they're changing, you know, that often. So I think that's where you stumble on it. Now, if you have, you know, Kevin Woodley as your as an assistant coach on your team, yeah, if you want to change him more often, that's fine. But, you know, again, the challenge I think that it might have, and the players, they'll just play. They're going to figure it out. But I think for the goalies, do they ever get in a rhythm if they're changing that often, right? Do you ever get that feeling of flow? You know, here NHL goalies, now it's a long ways from U11, but they want to get in there and just feel like the net's theirs and they can feel confident going. So there's so many different things that happen. And I think that, you know, quite honestly, I think goalie coaching is something we need to really look at, you know, for the average coach to kind of learn, but it's really hard. It's a really hard position to learn to coach. You know, if you've never played hockey and you're trying to just coach the forwards and D, mm-hmm. it's hard enough. Now you add goalie coach, it's really, really tough. So anyone listening, if you've played any level of goaltending, I mean, please help coach your son or daughter's team because we need it. We don't know what we're doing. You know, we can watch videos on YouTube, but it's really, really hard to coach goalies.
Yeah, like I would love an association. I think every association should have a goalie coach who goes around and works. And ideally, you have a few of them. And you know what? Yeah. This guy's in charge of U11 and U13s. Because you could send out a practice plan on what you want to do for your goalie.
Yeah.
Right? Specifically. And I think that's something that gets overlooked in a lot of associations.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I've seen where associations will have like Monday at 7 o'clock, all the goalies, you know, from U11 or whatever, you know, this level, they're all going to that and they have goalie coaching there. But it's a really good idea. I would suggest the same thing with skaters. You know, if you have a skating coach and say every team's going to do 10 minutes of skating at the beginning of practice, and this is the drills they're going to do. And I think that there's value to that. But, you know, minor hockey is just, you know, it's just like everything. It's got its pluses and its minuses, and they're all trying to help, and everyone's got the best of intentions, and you're trying to figure it out on the fly while your kid is or kids are in hockey or basketball or whatever sport you choose to play.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not easy. It's just as somebody who's in it lots, I was just curious if you ever thought about trying that strategy or not. It would be, you know, it would be interesting because I get, you know, the one side of it, I understand it's like, hey, kid goes to the game. Because I've talked to a few coaches, they say when their son knows he's not playing, all of a sudden he doesn't show up for practice that week. Because he's like, well, it's not my turn to play this weekend, so
yeah.
I don't care as much. And so that's not fair for any of the players because everybody wants shooting the goalie. It's not really fair for the goalie either. He's not going to get any better if he never shows up at practice.
Yeah, and you know, that seems pretty, I haven't had that experience. You know, I think you can say, you know, you continue to work on your game at that time and practice and
yes.
then maybe envision yourself in different situations in the game and the saves you make. And you know, I think one way to keep goalies engaged is you get them to track scoring chances or shots or even giveaways, whatever, anything that you think can help them, kind of learn at their position.
Yeah, no, that's, that definitely was, I love that, just tracking scoring chances from a certain area. I think that'd be fantastic for a goalie. Jason Strudwick joins us. Strudy, speaking of goalies, we talked with Speck about McDavid, and I'm not going to talk about it every day of the month because I think people get sick of it. But so I'll ask you once, and that's it. Do you think McDavid signs a contract extension, new contract, before the end of the month?
No, I don't think so. I think it'll be before the season, though, and this is why. I think that if he's going to sign it to Oilers, I think he'll want to get it done and get it behind him so he can move on to the year and not have to, you know, every time there's someone, you know, he buys something to eat or at the media or whether it's home or away media, they're asking him, hey, do you plan on signing it to Oilers? So I think that it'll be done before preseason. I'm guessing they want him in town to talk about it. So I don't know if his plans include coming back at Edmonton end of August. It may. I think it'll be done when he's here.
Now, you know where he'll be at the end of the month? He'll be in Calgary.
Oh, right.
Which is pretty close to Edmonton.
Yeah.
Just saying, people. Just saying.
Yeah, so you know we're on, well. Then you yes. know then yeah. If that's the case, he could race, well, not race back, but drive yes. up from Calgary and
yeah.
and make that, and that would make sense. I mean, I think stability is important for him and for the franchise. You know, then we're going to talk lengths of deal, but I think the extension will be in place so that there's stability. Because going through that all year, that's a lot. That's a lot to work out, yeah. work through.
What's your guess on term?
Yeah, I mean, Leon signed the long one, right? And it's funny, I think if you had asked me 2 years ago who would sign the long one, I'd say Connor and not Leon. And here we are talking about Leon having signed the max extension. So that one kind of caught me off guard. So I always thought it was going to be Connor signing the long one. So, you know, everyone, it sounds like the insiders are talking shorter term. But with Leon having signed it, I could see Connor maybe doing it as well. You know, I do believe they have talked about it. I cannot believe before Leon signed it, he didn't at least have a chat. And maybe then I said, well, I'm going to get this as my huge deal on the sign, although we had a pretty good one before, not max, obviously. But I do think, so I'm going to say, I think he's going to go longer. Maybe they end at the same time. So what would that be then, Greg? Is that?
Well, that'd be that would be a seven-year deal then.
Seven. So maybe I'm going to go seven because I just can't believe that they didn't talk about what their thoughts were.
Oh, like, how would you not? Like, to me, there's nothing wrong with it. Like, it's a... it's a conversation that should be had, I think,
100%.
In that place. Yeah.
And you got to have it because, you know, you enjoy playing with each other. Obviously, their wives and stuff are all buddies, and they've had some, you know, quite a bit of team success here, although the Stanley Cup's eluded them, a lot of individual success. So I just think it's a conversation they have, and they have to know what's going on. I think that even Jeff Jackson, I think he would have known maybe what Connor was thinking, although he wouldn't have, you know, he's not going to, you know, hold that against him. So you said this when I was your agent, but I think he got a sense of all of it. So,
oh, yes.
I mean, I think the extension's coming, and I think longer. I know you've advocated for shorter for him, and I get that, but I think the extension will be coming, and I'd like to think it'll be longer just for that stability.
Yeah, I think it'll be 4 years, but we'll see where it goes. Yeah. Strutty, get a nap in, and enjoy the Jays game tonight, and we'll chat with you again soon.
Yeah, I can't wait for that series on the weekend, right? Dodgers and Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be fun. That, and then after that, it's the Cubs. So, I mean, that's two pretty good teams they got the next, well, not to overlook Colorado, but pretty good series coming up.
It's okay to overlook Colorado. They're terrible.
Yeah. I might be able to play on that team.
Well, let's not go that far.
Get it out of the infield.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's true. You could get it out of the infield now, I'm sure. Oh, my God. Classic.
Oh, God.
Have a good one.
You got it, guys.